All right, we got a guest on the phone, and he is competing in the Republican primary to run against Senator Cardin.
God bless
and represent
him.
Maryland in the United States Senate.
God
and
bless
his name is Dr. Tony Campbell. Dr. Campbell.
Gentlemen.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. God bless you for running against Liberal Senator Ben Cardin. And, well, my hat's off to you. Let's see where I can send money to. Doctor.
Oh, that was the easy sell.
Yeah. Great bio on Dr. Campbell. And Tony, you prefer to be called Tony?
Tony's fine.
Okay, Tony, fine. A professor?
Yeah, I profess like I know a few things at Towson University, and I enjoy teaching. As I tell my kids that, you know, they only have to take their exams once, but I have to grade them 120 times.
Amen, so brother.
I get the worst part of that deal, I think.
And but, a chaplain, former Army chaplain. Congratulations for your service. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you know, it was a pleasure to be there in the presence of ministry for our airmen and soldiers. And, you know, unfortunately, when the Department of the Army changed the rules as far as praying in Jesus' name, I had
Amen.
To resign my commission. So,
well, you did. You did the right thing. I commend you. I think you did the right thing. What, Frank? What's your problem?
Give us a little bit more of your story from how you got to this place.
How'd you get this place, Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as far as running for U.S. Senate, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one. But, you know, I've originally, you know, from Pennsylvania, and I moved down here. My dad was a steel worker, and he lost his job, which a lot of folks did, and
sure.
moved to Maryland. And after I did my enlisted tour in the Army, because I didn't want to just sit around and do nothing and, you know, be 17, 18 years old without any purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, joined the Army for the first time. Did that twice and volunteered, and moved to Maryland. And the thing that I found annoying on a lot of levels is how much the Democrat Party took it, the African American vote for granted. In Western Pennsylvania, there was Democrats and conservative Democrats, and basically the conservative Democrats were. You know, Reagan Democrats.
Sure, blue dogs, we used to call them.
You could call today blue collar,
right.
pro-Second Amendment, pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And moved down here to Maryland. It was a totally different world.
It is, and I've been captured here for a long time, traveled the world and ended up here. But, Tony, we need new freshness. Now, although I am a Republican, Frank is a communist or something, but as a Republican, I am not happy with the Republican Party. At what we call the established Republican Party. I was not a Trump fan in the beginning because my candidate didn't do well, but I've come to love that man and pray for him because he is shaking things up that in not only in the, you know, the country, but also in the Republican Party, because I couldn't tell much difference between a dyed-in-the-wool established Republican and a Democrat.
Well, and I think the thing to understand, too, is that you know, Trump is not a Republican.
No,
he's a populist.
Yes,
and the things that he is doing, both you know, domestically as far as the economy, is he's a businessman, and that's the way he's running the economy. But in foreign affairs, he's also a businessman. I mean, the movement that we've been seeing in China, and especially the
unbelievable.
Is remarkable, but mm-hmm. the reason why that's happened is because Donald Trump understands psychology. He understands the psychology of bullies, and you need every once in a while you need to punch a bully in the nose.
Well, you're exactly right.
Earn respect. You have to earn respect for them to negotiate with you, and Trump understood that. And so, you know, for the first year or so, he was rattling sabers with, you know, with our, you know, little rocket man and yeah. all the other things that he was calling him, and you know, obviously he's gained respect.
So as a United States Senator, would you align yourself mostly with what Donald Trump would be urging Congress to pass as far as legislation?
For the most part. You know, I think that what you want from a United States Senator is someone who agrees with the president when the president's right and
disagrees when he's wrong.
The Tim Scott method is that when the president's wrong is to call him out on being
mm-hmm.
wrong.
I think that makes you human and makes you, you know, someone that you know, I've also found in my 100 years is that, you know, no matter how the other side, the opposition, always has something to say, and the smart person listens. Doesn't mean you agree, but you got to listen. And we don't have that anymore. You have to go back many years before we had it. Right now, this country is so divided because both sides see the other as the enemy rather than, you know, anything else. And as a senator, you would be, you know, depending this term, I mean, I think the Republicans hold the Senate quite comfortably. But, you know, you obviously get anything accomplished, you'd have to work alone.
Well, and I think that the issue here is, you know, not just the rise of identity politics, but, you know, it's totally captured the political conversation. You know, if you're not on our side, then you're not even to be listened to.
Correct.
And that's unhealthy. I mean, that's unhealthy for a marriage. It's definitely unhealthy for a republic. So I think that the way that I teach political theory, so the thing I fall back on is not only the Constitution, but the documents that led up to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the founders understood that if you leave people to their own devices, they're probably not going to listen to one another. So you need to devise a system that's going to make them listen to one another.
So as a candidate for U.S. Senator, we want to drill down on some of the issues. But before that, you are a candidate having to face other Republicans in the primary before you're in the clear for facing Senator Cardin. So how do you differ yourself from your fellow Republicans in the primary?
Well, we have 11 people total, you know, and they're all good people. But when this race for governor gets tight, and it will get tight, whether you're talking about Sherman Baker or Ben Jealous, you know, we know what the other side is going to do. They're going to say that Republicans are bad people.
Yes.
We're going to turn back the clock, go back to Jim Crow days, you know, kick our cats and dogs on the street and that kind of nonsense. I know the work that the governor and lieutenant governor has done, and I can talk about conservative issues and why the way that we think government should work makes people's lives better.
Without question.
And that's what we need to do, you know. So when that mess starts happening in September and October, you know, I'm on the board of a charter school in Baltimore City. So I know that school choice works, and I know that every child can learn. The problem with our school systems isn't our children; it's the adults that are running the school system.
It's going to be Tony. It's going to be a tough race because, you know, you have an entrenched Democrat there.
He's been in office since 1967 when Lyndon Johnson was president.
51 years ago. Yep.
It's the state of Maryland. It's the year 2018. How are you going to do it?
Well, you know, just got to keep, you know, pressing every day. And I think the question that I started to answer before the break was, you know, what makes, you know, my candidacy a little bit different from the other 10 people? And I think there's a couple things. One, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years. I teach politics. I understand Maryland politics. I started in 1998 when I drove Ellen Sarbury across the state. So I know what the other side is going to do. The question is, what's our response to it? And I think we just need to speak truth to it, you know, and the president's way, that's what he did in 2016.
He talked to the people and he told the truth.
Let's drill down on the issues. If you were a United States senator, what would you like to see? What would you like to focus on first?
Well, you know, I think that every country needs to have sovereignty, and part of sovereignty is being able to protect our borders. So, you know, whether that's a physical wall or increasing border patrol or whatever mechanisms that we need to do, I think that is one of the major purposes of our national government.
Long overdue.
Along with that is the immigration issue, you know, this diversity lottery and chain migration. I mean, those things are unlawful. And in sanctuary cities, in a county situation, those things are unconstitutional.
I couldn't agree more. What about guns? Yeah. Your Second Amendment feelings?
Yeah, I'm pro Second Amendment. I mean, I'm an Army guy. I was an expert marksman. I mean, if I want to have one in my household, I should have the right to do so because I know how to use it. And so I'm very pro Second Amendment, pro life. I think the one thing that I talk about that's different from the other folks that are running, and you know, I was in two dinners in the last couple of weeks. Lindsey Graham and George Allen were in state, you know, for a couple of different events, and they both talked about jobs. And that's the same thing that Democrats talk. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's allow the government to let people to create jobs. We're Republicans. We should be better than that. We should talk about the purpose of government is one is to get out of the way of individual liberty, and two, you know, we should be able to use that liberty to succeed, not just get by, not just work a job and make a wage and pay for your next flat screen TV or your iPhone 10. That's not success.
Well,
when we use the same language
right.
as Democrats, we're no different from that.
Correct.
So you're mentioning when we started this conversation about, you know, there's no difference between establishment Republicans and establishment Democrats. You're right, because we're not trying to be aspirational. You know, we're not trying to build people up. We're just trying to, you know, let them get by so they can be dependent on government or whatever institution that we have.
Too much government and not enough government. Of course, as a conservative, you're going to say, hopefully you're going to say, too much government, everything from our educational system to our VA to everything that the government, anything it appears to me in my 100 years is that every time the government touches something, it's time to get away from it. What about how are you on social issues? Like there's a drive under, Chuck Schumer said, and I believe, maybe, I don't know who it was, but legalizing marijuana.
I don't think marijuana should be a class one drug. I think we have to deal with sentencing reform, mm-hmm. As Rand Paul talked about during his campaign. Now, I don't have all the answers, but you know, I think that reasonable people can come to an agreement on at least those two issues. We definitely have an epidemic as far as opioids and that kind of and those kind of substances. So,
sure.
Legalization, I'm not quite sure about. But you know, I think you want someone who's going to at least
listen,
deal with the issues straight up and think about them.
Well, now, Tony, how did now you're traveling the state? I remember you from with Ellen years ago. What about, money? I'm sure that the coffers of Ben Cardin have to be huge. Do you see that as a big deficit in your campaign?
Republicans are going to get 40%, because we always do. The question is, how do you go about crossing that 13% Rubicon that you get? Because it's not about getting 51% in the state, it's about getting 53%.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know the shenanigans they're
yes.
going to try to pull.
Quite obvious.
So, you know, after I don't think money's going to be an issue. You know, there are a lot of folks who got unelected when they had plenty of money.
Sure.
You know, Hillary Clinton wasn't lacking for money.
That's true.
You know, the question is,
no message.
You know, what kind of message can we, you know, can we talk about in Prince George's County, Ballmer City, to get the margins that we need? I mean, if I can get 25%, 30, you know, in Ballmer City and Prince George's County, then it's a ball game. I don't care how much money Ben Cardin has.
You, as you travel, how do we reach you? And also, I'd extend to you, if you're in the Frederick area, please, if you have time, we'd certainly love to have you in person, as we told you, and you're welcome. But how, if someone wants to know more about Tony Campbell, how do they do so?
The website is campbellformaryland.com. It's Campbell, two L's, like the soup.
Love your soup.
Maryland.com. I thought about using the Campbell
logo
colors, but I've probably been sued about that.
More than likely.
So, but, you know, that's the website. You know, Facebook, Twitter's the same handles. Would appreciate, you know, people's, check out the website, check out the issues. You know, there's, like I said, there's other people in the primary, but I think as far as the issues and where I stand on them and my experience, you know, I think I'm the best candidate and hope to get people's support.